You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition. I have two stories. They're not in themselves stories in the sense that it's usually an event. One is related to the lack of trust that the American people have both in what I call big lie media, your television networks, your newspapers, and to a lesser extent radio, and the rhetoric primarily of Democratic candidates for president, but also of the president, comparing them. The trend has been for many, many years is fewer and fewer people trust their sources of news. Many have given up on television a long time ago. I include myself. I stopped watching television until very recently for, at least 20 years. I thought it was a waste of time, both the entertainment and the news. And to save time, especially with the internet today, people can focus in on a story that interests them. So they don't need to rely on what I call big lie media, your major television networks and the papers, the newspapers, the few that are remaining, in cities like New York, Washington, D.C., and Chicago and Los Angeles. But it's a general trend. It cuts across party affiliation. They simply don't trust the media. And they also don't trust government. I think the worst reputation is Congress. In other words, we have our institutions, our very important institutions, are failing us. Now, can that be changed around? I think it could, but I'm not optimistic. And the nation is divided, but then the question is, what's dividing it? And part of that problem is big lie media. Instead of so-called objective journalism that used to be the standard 50, 60 years ago, news today is a mixture of the news story and commentary. Now, let me make clear, the show I give is a commentary show. It's clearly considered that. And that confuses some people, especially if you're not aware of the distinction. There used to be a very sharp line between news and editorial or opinion matter. And they usually were on separate pages and definitely on separate shows. Today, it's hard to tell the difference. So what have the American people resorted to? Searching for news that interests them. For example, today in preparing this story show, I had to go to many sources. Now, I know the bias of many of these sources. Some I don't, but many of them I knew the bias. And that's the one thing you have to look at. But the typical reader doesn't know that. So he relies on what he did in the past. And that is, he would tune in typically one of the evening news, one of the major networks, or CNN or Fox, and get the news that way. But the overall trend, no matter what your political ideology or political philosophy is simply no longer to trust them. I no longer trust them. I really have to dig and dig and dig. Yeah, I rely on certain websites to, for example, I'll look at Drudge to see what are the breaking news stories. And that's really a starting point. But then I'll also go to YouTube to see how it's being reported, as well as various newspapers, articles, to get a handle on the subject or story that I'm covering. The conclusion I have come up with, you can't trust anybody. And that leads to a bigger conclusion. Our institutions are failing us. Both our political parties, the press, so-called press, news, the politicians running it, and the second story I'll be covering is comparing rhetoric. That has become, let us say, over the top, to put it mildly, and I want to show you some examples of that. So my advice is to do your own homework. That's why I provide you with some of my background information for the various stories I'm covering. I'm only going to cover two today. There's another thing that's even more dangerous. A lot of people are not tuning in at all. Now, I can understand that because many people, either they're going to school, college, or working, and they have preferences as to where they spend their time, especially spare time, and they're simply not tuned into politics at all. Given the nature of this show, I can't turn it off. I have to check out what's happening every day. It's a flow of the news. And usually what happens, and this is no exception, where there is a mass shooting like we had in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio, it dominates the news. There are other stories that probably Wednesday, Thursday, I'm going to have to get back to. But the mass shootings tend to dominate for several days. And then what stuns a lot of people, by the end of the week, you're on to something else. The news cycle is short, usually a day, occasionally 2 days, rarely 3 days. And if it's 3 days, it's usually a natural disaster, a hurricane hitting a locality. But in the United States, there's a bias towards stories that occur in the United States. In other words, stories about other nations that we should be interested in are simply not of interest to the majority of voters, even when it has a great impact on them. What I'm thinking about is it looks like we have an all-out trade war with Communist China, and that Communist China is going to wait to after the next election, and maybe even later than that, to negotiate a deal, an agreement with the United States. Now, I believe in free trade, but we have a few nations, and Communist China by far is the abuser that have taken advantage of the United States, stealing our intellectual property, having unfair trade barriers, such as manipulating the currency. All of this is an important story that impacts all Americans, even though what's happening, it's hard to link until you see and will see fewer and fewer Chinese goods in the big box stores. That, I think, is happening. The combination of tariffs, and I think this might very well lead to a total embargo on Chinese goods. Now, that's a minority position. But the American people, as well as the retailers that sell these goods, there are other sources than Communist China. President Trump is right. The major impact, the negative impact, will be to China. And I think the Chinese know that. But they have in the past corrupted U.S. politicians, primarily Democratic politicians, and they're continuing to do it today because they're losing a lot of what, for over 20 years, the impact of more and more Chinese manufacturing of goods for not only the United States but Europe resulted in the closing in the United States of thousands of factories. But now we have a president that knows and is willing to take on the Communist Chinese, and slowly but surely he's succeeding. See, that's a news story that really should get a lot of play. Now, I've covered it in the past. You know, early this week we had a dramatic fall in the stock market prices. Why? Because what was factored in is it doesn't look like we're going to get an agreement between the United States and China anytime soon. Now, there are a number of polls as to who the American people trust. For example, the military and scientists tend to be trusted a lot more than the government, politicians, and tech companies. But what do you do when people are demanding, for example, the regulation of tech companies such as Facebook, Google, Twitter, other social networking sites? Is the government really the answer? I don't think so. I think the answer is real competition. But to some extent, that begs the question because, for example, who dominates search today? It's Google. Now, I use Google, I use Bing, and occasionally I'll use another search engine where I think I'm not getting the answers or what I thought would be when I type in some keywords and get, for example, a return that I'm puzzled. How did they come up with that? But a lot of people, it's a bad habit, and the bad habit is Google. And remember, Google also controls YouTube. They're the same company. same parent company. I was alerted to this last night. I was trying to look up some newscast on Fox, and I noticed something that I've never seen before, and they're still there today. There are literally dozens of YouTube videos, and they're 2 seconds long, and it was more than annoying. Now, my question is this someone, and I'll give YouTube the benefit of the doubt, but is this something that YouTube did? You know, you go to, let's say, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, or other shows. I've just given you three, and you see this, and you begin to wonder, is Google or YouTube doing this? Is it censorship? It would be easy to jump to that conclusion. What's going on here? Now, apparently, overnight, someone must have reported this. Now, those YouTube videos, 2 seconds long, are still there, but now they have the full show. But what I was looking for is not the full show, but segments of the show, dealing, for example, with the mass shootings and what the rhetoric of the, primarily, the Democrats. And I think it's over the top. I think they're not only irresponsible, I think they're acting dangerously, because I really think the rhetoric is such that it could cause other mass shootings, and they're also apparently targeting the supporters of Trump. That's where it gets dangerous, folks, and there will be a backlash. So the important point that I'm trying to make is the trend of the American people no longer trusting media, however you want to describe it, label it, the television networks, the news, newspapers, to some extent the magazines. I call it big lie media because most of the time it's misleading, if not out-and-out lies. And it's gotten worse, worse, and worse. And as that has happened, people stop watching. And that's the important point. What should you do when you eventually understand that you are being manipulated by all the media? You start not listening. It's like if you're engaged in business and find out that one of your vendors you can't trust because they're lying to you, what is the typical reaction? My reaction was, I don't do business with them. There's a price to pay. People expect that they're being told the truth, but they're learning the hard way you can't trust these news organizations anymore. I don't care if it's on the left, right, or in the middle. There is, as far as I'm concerned, no objective journalism. That used to be the standard. It had to be accurate, fair, objective. Instead, it's become largely propaganda. Now, that's nothing new. If you know the history of newspapers, most of them favored a party or a candidate. So it's not that we're seeing anything new, but it's a dramatic change from at least the attempt in the 50s and 60s to tell the people what was truly going on. So what's my advice? Sad to say, the bottom line of this story, the takeaway is, don't trust anybody. It has come to that. You cannot trust anybody. Does that mean I don't listen to certain talk shows? You better believe I do. Does that mean I don't go to Fox and listen to parts of shows? Yes, I do. But usually when I'm doing it, I'm trying to see and get a somewhat diverse point of view as to how they're covering the story. And if time permits, I'll have some examples of that. One of the problems, though, is the rhetoric. What's noticeable is the not only the bias, but the rhetoric. And what woke me up, I recently got a DVD player that has a television so I can listen to the Sunday news stories. And what struck me is they were trying to blame the shootings on Trump. That's why yesterday I played the president's comment. It was overwhelming biased blaming Donald Trump, like he was there pulling the trigger. And that has not stopped. If anything, that has gotten a lot worse. Now, I want to play, and I've given you a lot of articles, and you can go to my companion blog, prompopops.wordpress.com. And if you do, you need to do your homework. If you have time, listen to some of the videos, view the videos, as well as the articles. And I think you see what I'm talking about. I think the biggest complaint is, I want the news. Please give me the news. Summarize the facts. I don't need your opinion. I have an opinion myself, but all I hear are opinions. I want the news. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. It's like Dragnet. That was the line. Ma'am, just the facts. Just the facts. Now, I want to play a clip. I'm going to play several clips. This is going to be a clip-heavy show. In the late 1960s, early 1970s, the country was really divided over the Vietnam War. I decided very early, and I had a military obligation and went into the Air Force in 1973, but I graduated from college in 68. And we had rioting in the streets, marches, and we had an escalation of the number of Americans, and we still had the draft, that were be sent into Vietnam, over 500, I think over 550,000. And every day, week, we had body counts, how many U.S. soldiers were killed, and eventually it was over 50,000. But we also had assassinations. One of the politicians that was assassinated was Robert F. Kennedy. Now, I've said before, I come from a family that is primarily Democrat. I'm neither a Democrat nor a Republican anymore because they've both become big government parties. I'm for limited government. And the two parties have, we're in a financial mess. And I'm not going to go there because I've covered that many times. And that is, should be an important priority, but the politicians aren't talking about it. They don't talk about the hard problems. Instead, they call names. So I want you to listen to Robert F. Kennedy, and he was addressing a black audience. And this was in, I forget the exact date. Let me play it. It was April 4th, 1968. That's when Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. And Robert Kennedy had to tell his black campaign supporters that night. Listen.
Do they know about Martin Luther King? Could you lower those signs, please? I have some very sad news for all of you, and that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Martin Luther King dedicated his life to love and to justice between fellow human beings. He died in the cause of that effort. In this difficult day, in this difficult time for the United States, it's perhaps well to ask what kind of a nation we are and what direction we want to move in. For those of you who are black, considering the evidence evidently is that there were white people who were responsible, you can be filled with bitterness and with hatred and a desire for revenge. We can move in that direction as a country in greater polarization. Black people amongst blacks and white amongst whites filled with hatred toward one another. Or we can make an effort, as Martin Luther King did, to understand and to comprehend and replace that violence, that stain of bloodshed that is spread across our land, with an effort to understand compassion and love. For those of you who are black and are tempted to be filled with hatred and mistrust of the injustice of such an act against all white people, I would only say that I can also feel in my own heart the same kind of feeling. I had a member of my family killed, but he was killed by a white man. But we have to make an effort in the United States. We have to make an effort to understand, to get beyond or go beyond these rather difficult times. My favorite poem, my favorite poet was Aeschylus. He once wrote, "Even in our sleep, pain which cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart, until in our own despair, against our will, comes wisdom through the awful grace of God." What we need in the United States is not division. What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another, feeling of justice toward those who still suffer within our country, whether they be white or whether they be black. We can do well in this country. We will have difficult times. We've had difficult times in the past, but we will have difficult times in the future. It is not the end of violence. It is not the end of lawlessness, and it's not the end of disorder. But the vast majority of white people and the vast majority of black people in this country want to live together, want to improve the quality of our life, and want justice for all human beings that abide in our land. And what dedicate ourselves to what the Greeks wrote so many years ago, to tame the savageness of man and make gentle the life of this world. Let us dedicate ourselves to that and say a prayer for our country and for our people. Thank you very much.
That was Robert F. Kennedy addressing a group of black campaign workers on the night Martin Luther King was assassinated. Robert F. Kennedy won the California primary. He was running for president. But after addressing his campaign workers, on his way back to his hotel room, was assassinated. What surprised me is the lack of proper, call it tone, respect, of several of the Democratic candidates for president. And they all seem to blame Trump for it. This is another Robert Francis, Beto O'Rourke, on the mass shootings.
You see a president who, in his first speech as a candidate for the highest office in the land, described Mexican immigrants as rapists and criminals, has been warning about the threats of caravans and asylum seekers who he's described as animals and an infestation, despite the fact that immigrants commit crimes at a far lower rate than do those who are born in this country, despite the fact that we are now in one of the safest cities in the United States of America, safe not despite but because it is a city of immigrants, the president's language, his rhetoric, has produced the kinds of hate crimes that we saw in El Paso yesterday, but we've been seeing across this country, they've been on the rise for each one of the last 3 years. So we cannot act as though this were just some kind of natural disaster or a matter of course for this country or the new normal for the United States. There is a very real cause to this, and President Trump is part of that, but he exists in a racist environment that is being fueled by Fox News, by those who on the internet traffic in these conspiracy theories. The open hatred and intolerance that has found a home in people like the shooter and what he did yesterday.
I met a woman in the waiting room at University Medical Center last night. She was waiting on news about her husband who had been shot in the chest. He was shot in the chest as he was out in the Walmart parking lot at a booth raising money for the soccer team that he coaches. He was there with his kids who luckily escaped to safety inside the McDonald's next door. She asked me, why is this happening? Why does this continue to happen? What will it take for this to stop? And in addition to laws that make it harder for people to get a gun who should not have one in the first place, universal background checks, closing all the loopholes, ending the sales of assault weapons and weapons of war, red flag laws. We also have to acknowledge that the open racism and intolerance and hatred that we are seeing throughout this country being echoed and trafficked in by the president of the United States, who encourages this kind of hatred and as a result this kind of violence, must be stopped. And it's up not just to a person or a political party, but all of us as Americans to put an end to it. And again, I know that the people of El Paso will take the lead in this fight.
That was a rather desperate candidate. I think he's going nowhere. He's not only misleading the American people, he's lying about some key points. The one question I would pose to him and all the Democratic candidates, The vast majority of the American people support legal immigration. What they do not support is the illegal alien invasion of this country that's happened in the last 33 years, where tens of millions of illegals, primarily from Mexico and Central America, but around the world, have flooded into the United States. Now, the American people, in poll after poll, have told the pollsters, and I'm talking 70, 75, 80%, that they want this stopped, and they want the illegal aliens that are here to go home. Please. But neither political party has built a border barrier to stop this. Part of the bipartisan deal that Ronald Reagan eventually signed, the bill that gave citizenship to the illegal aliens that were here then, and that was a mistake because that tells everyone that's watching this, well, continue it, and maybe 20, 30 years from now, you will get citizenship. You don't reward criminal behavior, and that's why we have every year hundreds of thousands to over a million people, actually several million, coming to the United States illegally, breaking into our country, living, working here. What the Democratic Party and many Republicans have forgotten is these are American voters of the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, and independents, and the elites in this country are not listening to the American people. It even gets worse. They're insulting the American people. That's why the Democrats and Republican Party are losing long-time voters that have voted for them for generations. They're tired of being lied to, misled, and focusing more on the so-called rights of illegal aliens than what the American people have been demanding. I'm not going to make this an immigration show. What I resent is politicians, whether Democrats or Republicans, politicizing this. And then the media, the echo chamber, all blaming Trump. That is not the way to convince the American people. What they're doing is playing to the smaller and diminishing Democrats that believe this nonsense, believe this propaganda. Now, I want to play Vice President Pence's short speech on the shooting.
But before we get started, allow me to say a few words about the horrific mass shootings that occurred over this weekend in El Paso and Dayton. Like all Americans, Karen and I were outraged and sickened by these barbaric attacks. As I stand before you today, 31 people have died. 53 were injured. And it breaks our hearts to see so many innocent lives cut short by unspeakable violence. What happened this weekend were acts of pure evil. And we express our deepest condolences to the families of those who lost their lives. And we join every American praying for the injured and their families in their hour of need. The Bible says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And that will be our prayer for the people of Dayton and El Paso. We also commend the men and women of law enforcement in both states, whose quick action and courageous service undoubtedly saved lives. They earned the admiration and gratitude of the American people. As President Trump said in his address to the nation yesterday, hate has no place in America. And the sinister ideologies of racism, bigotry, and white supremacy must be defeated. In the wake of previous violence, our administration worked on a bipartisan basis with the Congress to strengthen background checks and improve school safety. And in the wake of this weekend's mass shootings, the President has brought the full resources of the federal government to assist law enforcement in investigating and prosecuting those responsible for these heinous acts. Justice will be swift and certain. The President has also directed the FBI to use all legal means available to disrupt hate crimes and to prevent domestic terrorism before it occurs. We directed the Department of Justice to work with local, state, federal agencies, as well as social media companies, to develop new tools to identify those seeking to do harm before they strike. And the President called for all of us to work together to end the glorification of violence in our society and to reform our mental health laws. We'll work to identify and treat, and where necessary, involuntarily confine all those deemed a risk to themselves or the public safety. And as we speak, our administration is working with members of Congress to ensure that all those who pose a risk to public safety are denied access to firearms. And finally, because justice delayed is justice denied, we're developing legislation to ensure that those who commit mass murders face the death penalty swiftly. In years, not decades. And tomorrow, the President and the First Lady will travel to Dayton and El Paso to express the sympathies and support of the American people for all those impacted by these hideous attacks. As the President also said, now is the time to set destructive partisanship aside and find the courage to answer hatred with unity, devotion, and love. Now is the time to overcome evil with good. You know, it's always been true throughout the long history of this country that in times of trial, the American people turn to faith and prayer. The Bible tells us that if his people who are called by his name will humble themselves and pray, that he'll hear from heaven and he'll heal our land. And in this dark hour for the people of El Paso and Dayton, we do well to pray. To pray for healing. To pray for the families of those that were lost and injured. To pray for these communities and for our nation as a whole.
Now, that was Vice President Mike Pence. I already have played Donald Trump's address to the nation. But since the attacks are relentless on President Trump, I'm going to play probably 2 minutes, 3 minutes of that address just to remind you, if you haven't heard it, I recommend you listen to the whole thing. It's under 10 minutes, what he said yesterday.
Good morning. My fellow Americans, this morning, our nation is overcome with shock, horror, and sorrow. This weekend, more than 80 people were killed or wounded in two evil attacks. One Saturday morning in El Paso, Texas, a wicked man went to a Walmart store where families were shopping with their loved ones. He shot and murdered 20 people and injured 26 others, including precious little children. Then, in the early hours of Sunday morning, Dayton, Ohio, another twisted monster opened fire on a crowded downtown street. He murdered 9 people, including his own sister, and injured 27 others. The First Lady and I join all Americans in praying and grieving for the victims, their families, and the survivors. We will stand by their side forever. We will never forget. These barbaric slaughters are an assault upon our communities, an attack upon our nation, and a crime against all of humanity. We are outraged and sickened by this monstrous evil, the cruelty, the hatred, the malice, the bloodshed, and the terror. Our hearts are shattered for every family whose parents, children, husbands, and wives were ripped from their arms and their lives. America weeps for the fallen. We are a loving nation, and our children are entitled to grow up in a just, peaceful, and loving society. Together, we lock arms to shoulder the grief. We ask God in heaven to ease the anguish of those who suffer, and we vow to act with urgent resolve. I want to thank the many law enforcement personnel who responded to these atrocities with the extraordinary grace and courage of American heroes. I have spoken with Texas Governor Greg Abbott and Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, as well as Mayor DeMargo of El Paso, Texas, and Mayor Nan Whaley of Dayton, Ohio, to express our profound sadness and unfailing support. Today, we also send the condolences of our nation to President Obrador of Mexico and all the people of Mexico for the loss of their citizens in the El Paso shooting.
I'm going to leave it there, but I do have the entire clip, so if you missed yesterday's show, you can hear the full address. Now, I said, what's going on? Why is the rhetoric continuing? Over-the-top rhetoric. Unheard of and inappropriate. I think the vice president and the president, that's what I would call appropriate rhetoric. Statement, if you will. The same with Robert F. Kennedy. So I said, well, let me see if I can find a news reporter, and I've never heard of this person, by the way, to see what's going on. I clicked on it, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Following the tragic shootings in El Paso and Dayton yesterday, some of the left and media were quick to turn the events into a political debate. On America, Chanel Rion explains.
Democrats and Republicans have responded to the El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio shootings since yesterday. Republicans shared condolences and raised alarms at the state of mental health in America, while Democrats immediately started attacking and blaming President Trump and America's guns for the tragedies. Democrat Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi stated, "The Republican Senate must stop their outrageous obstruction and join the House to put an end to the horror and bloodshed that gun violence inflicts every day in America. Enough is enough." Democratic presidential candidates blamed the shooting on President Trump on grounds that the crazed El Paso shooter allegedly penned a manifesto against immigrants.
He is a racist, and he stokes racism in this country, and it does not just offend our sensibilities. It fundamentally changes the character of this country, and it leads to violence.
Yet, the manifesto, supposedly written by the crazed El Paso killer, accuses both Democrat and Republican lawmakers for allowing foreign nationals to commit election interference and for harming the environment. The manifesto also attacked big corporations. A media and leftist pylon immediately ensued, blaming not only the tools of these killers, but Trump rallies, Republicans, and the NRA. Former VP Joe Biden said, "This is beyond anything that we should be tolerating. We can beat the NRA. We can beat the gun manufacturers." Cory Booker outright said President Trump all but pulled the trigger in the El Paso shooting.
He is responsible. He's responsible when he has taken no action whatsoever to even condemn white supremacy, even when his own FBI is talking about this being sourcing major parts of our problem. So we have a president who is responsible.
The motive for the Dayton, Ohio killer is not immediately known, but appears to have been an atheist activist with alleged Antifa affiliations, while the El Paso killings are being treated as an incident of domestic terrorism against migrants. President Trump condemned the week's killings, saying in a tweet, "Today's shootings in El Paso, Texas was not only tragic, it was an act of cowardice. I know that I stand with everyone in this country to condemn today's hateful act. There are no reasons or excuses that will ever justify killing innocent people." Mass shootings are a recent phenomenon in the last few decades, but debate rages on as to whether to blame guns or the person behind the trigger. Those opposed to the gun-grabbing agenda have called out the logical fallacy in blaming guns for mass killings, citing that each of these killers suffer mental illness and would have used other weapons if guns were not available, arguing mental health must be addressed if we are to discuss mass killings in society today. In the meantime, the president has declared today a day of mourning, ordering all flags to be flown at half-mast in honor of the victims in El Paso and Dayton. Chanel Rion, One America News, the White House.
Now, I just got the signal. I got to wrap it up. If you think I'm understating what I consider outrageous and dangerous rhetoric of many of the Democratic candidates for president, Laura Ingraham, yes, that Laura Ingraham on Fox, she used to have a very good radio show that I listened to, summarized the rhetoric. So I have that clip right under this one. It's disturbing because not only are they attacking Trump, they are in turn going after Trump supporters. That's where it gets dangerous. And I hope nothing happens. Let me just play a minute or two of what.
In the last 24 hours, the left's smears and attacks have become more ghoulish, more vicious, and more unhinged. With the help of prominent media collaborators, they've launched what I think is basically a three-pronged assault designed to, number one, profit from the massacres through political fundraising, number two, raise their public profiles in a competitive campaign season, and number three, target and silence their political opponents through defamation and demonization. Now, the Democratic National Committee sent out an email signed by former Representative Gabby Giffords. Remember, she herself was almost killed by an assassin. And that mailing encouraged people to split their donations between the DNC and Giffords' own PAC in the wake of these tragedies. Elizabeth Warren, whose candidacy the Dayton shooter supported, you'll remember, is also getting in on the act, writing in an email, quote, "If we're going to address the gun violence epidemic in our country, we need to take back the Senate in 2020. She then urges people to donate to several Democrat senatorial candidates. Then, today on MSNBC, Stephanie Ruhle focused at least on the important stuff.
As bad as this may sound, could this moment be a chance for Beto to gain some momentum?
I think so.
As bad as that did sound. My friends, this is just macabre, callous stuff. From the people, by the way, who claimed to have the market cornered on compassion for those who are suffering. At the same time, there is a coordinated effort on the left to use these shootings to marginalize and silence the president and his supporters. Now, conflating the evil racism of a deranged killer with Trump's reasonable and much-needed call for border security is not just offensive. It's absolutely obscene. And by the way, I didn't see any Republicans trying to read blame into the murderer's radical environmental and anti-corporate ramblings. Well, those have gone largely unreported. I wonder why. Now, this is how leftist darling Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez decided to honor the victims of these massacres and lower the temperature.
I don't want to hear the question, is this president racist anymore? He is.
That's going to save a lot of lives. She also reportedly said at the same event that the president is, quote, directly responsible, close quote, for the massacre in El Paso. Yes, you heard that right. Directly responsible. Now, her language is the definition of irresponsible and incendiary. Now, it's so bad that today, Democratic Congressman Joaquin Castro went on Twitter to list the names and employers of 44 top Trump donors in San Antonio. He wrote, their contributions are fueling a campaign of hate that labels Hispanic immigrants as, quote, invaders. Now, a sitting congressman is doxing, slandering, and frankly, endangering his own constituents. Forget persuasion. Democrats have decided to demonize and just altogether write off a huge swath of the population as just a bunch of yahoos and racists. This is a campaign of intimidation. And I'm telling you, it's going to end up getting more people hurt.
I have to end it there. I agree with her. This rhetoric is outlandish, it's irresponsible, and it's going to lead to the deaths of more people. Shame on them. Shame on them. They will have blood on their hands, and that's why I don't think any of them will get elected president of the United States. The Democratic Party of my parents' and grandparents' generation is no more. It has been taken over by radical, extremist Democrat socialists. They don't tolerate dissent, and if they ever should get in power, watch out for your freedom and liberty. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.